As we prepare our hearts tonight for the Lord's table, if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew and chapter 26, and we're going to briefly look at Jesus' death, the death that he died, and then we will have the Lord's table after that. We're going to begin reading in verse 57. And this is after Jesus has already endured being taken and is now in front of the high priest. It says, "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said unto him, 'Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?'" Just as a point of note, this was true. Jesus did say that this temple will be destroyed and after 3 days be rebuilt. But he was speaking about himself, not the physical temple that they were standing in front of in Jerusalem. What did Jesus answer, though, in verse 63? "But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, 'He hath spoken blasphemies. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?' And they answered and said, 'He is guilty of death.'" If we jump down now to chapter 27, we see the crucifixion after another trial done, actually two more trials done on the non-religious side. So this is Matthew chapter 27 and verse 29. We find the crucifixion itself. "And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe from off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.' And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation, 'This is Jesus, King of the Jews.'" We have here the death of Jesus. We jump down now again to verse 50. "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many." We have the death of Jesus. It was dramatic. It was a spectacle. It was done in the open, in front of many who mocked him. It was done painfully, and it was done with a lot of blood. that death that Jesus died was not the easy death. It was a hard death, and it was one that he allowed to happen. We sing the song, sometimes he could have called 10,000 angels. And yet instead of calling angels to come down and to protect him, he allowed himself to be accused by false witnesses. He answered on his behalf nothing, but instead was willing to be put on that cross. He suffered the beatings, the mockings, the cruelty of it. And he did all of that not because he loves pain, but because he loved you and I. This is what we remember. If this time is a celebration, it is not a celebration of a death. It is a celebration of great love. The manifestation of God's love towards us is that Jesus died for us. He sent his only begotten Son. That's God's love being shown. When we read there in chapter 26 and 27, the death of our Savior, we read of God's love towards us. If we know Jesus as Savior, then we have to say, God loves me. God loves me. And that is what the juice and the bread truly represent. The juice representing his blood and the bread representing his body. Yet the whole picture is that we have joined in with Jesus. He has become a part of us. And his love that was shown is now enduring in us. It is not passed away. It is not here for a moment and then gone. It is enduring with us. And so we remember what it is that Jesus did for us. We remember the death he died in saving us. At this time, if I could have Zachary and Simeon, could you come up as well? And we'll hand out the bread and the juice. We have this picture for us, this remembrance time, and it was instituted actually before Jesus' death. I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but God is very gracious. Jesus, while the juice represents his blood and the bread represents his body, yet for the 12 disciples, as they enjoyed this, they had something pleasant to remember. Their last meal with Jesus. Their last time of fellowship with him. And yes, it was somewhat overshadowed by his horrific death. Yet their last time with Jesus was this time where they were eating the bread and drinking the juice with him. And where he said, this is what you're going to do to remember me. Says, and they were eating. Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. So, Brother Buddy, would you pray over the bread?
Father, we thank you that the bread, being only an emblem, only a picture of the body of Christ, and not actually the flesh of our dear Savior, unleavened, picturing the sinlessness of Christ, no blemish, no darkness in him, no taint of sin in our Savior. And we thank you that he was willing to give his body a sacrifice for us, not on an altar of stone or gold or bronze, but upon the cross. Yeah. And we thank you for that. We rejoice in our confidence that Jesus died for our sins. In his name we pray.
And then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Let's pray over the juice. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the death that Jesus died. We thank you that it was a sacrifice that could wash away sins. Lord, we thank you that this New Testament, this new way of interacting with you was made certain, not with something that is changeable, not with something that loses value, but with the precious blood of your Son. And Lord, we thank you that this juice only represents his blood, that it is not his blood, that you do not require continual sacrifices, but that there was once one sacrifice, and now there is continual remembrance of it, not continual sacrifices. And Lord, we thank you for your blood which was shed, and for this time we can remember what you did on our behalf. Amen.